8:47, more on the war in Iran. Again, the defense secretary saying, we control the airspace and we're winning decisively, but still a lot of questions as to what the end game is. And despite saying everything's fine, the president is calling defense contractors to the White House to talk about ramping up the weapons production. Let's bring in William Wexler with the Atlantic Council.
William, good morning. Thanks for being here.
Thank you for having me.
There's a report in the New York Times today that says Iran's Ministry of Intelligence secretly reached out to the CIA one day after these attacks began. What does that say to you?
It says to me that there is confusion within the Iranian regime, but they are also doing their standard operating procedure, which is to try to buy time through negotiations. That's what they've done to virtually every administration, and that's probably the first thing that they were trying to do again.
As we mentioned going into this, so many questions as to what the end game is. Has you seen any idea as to what could happen? Yesterday, the president was saying, well, I think someone from within the regime would be best to lead it. We've taken out a lot of the top leaders. We're also getting other news about, okay, well, maybe we'll arm the Kurds and send them in to help protesters topple things. That's easier said than done. And that seems to be something that you would work on before you actually start the war, not during it.
Yeah, you would think so. And of course, what we just recently did to the Kurds is told the Kurds in Syria that we were abandoning them entirely, only to then find ourselves in a situation where we're asking the Kurds in Iraq to help the Kurds in Iran. So that part of the strategy was obviously not well thought out. But in terms of where this ends, President Trump would most likely, by all of his statements, love to have a Venezuela kind of outcome to this, where it's a decapitation of the regime, but the regime stays, that someone else emerges and then can make the kind of deal that he was unable to get before. I think that's what Donald Trump wants. I think if that's presented to him, he would grasp it immediately. I don't think that kind of deal is on order, though. I don't think that there's anyone in Iran inside the regime that is interested in that deal. And even if there was, I don't think that such a person could actually have the command and control necessary to make it or enforce the deal. So I suspect that option that Donald Trump wants is not likely to be seen.
Would that even be something that the Iranian people would want, though?
No, of course not. That is not what the Iranian people want. It's not likely what Israel wants. It's not so that's another reason why this is going to last some time. As you mentioned at the outset, the big question is the military math between how much the United States and Israel have been able to degrade the launchers for the projectile weapons that Iran is using, and how much they are able to deplete our itinerary, our store of interceptors that we have, which costs a lot of money. And that's what Donald Trump is bringing people into the White House to try to make sure that we have a larger store of interceptors. But the main question that you just alluded to, which is the most important for everyone, is what do the Iranian people do? When Donald Trump announced this war, he called on the Iranian people to stay at home while it was dangerous, but then to rise up and rid themselves of this regime. If they do that, then what does Donald Trump do when the regime, what's left of it, mows down those people again? That is the inflection point of this whole story that we haven't seen come yet.
Well, yeah, because the Revolutionary Guard has all the guns, the people don't.
Exactly. And yet the people have been, over the last decade, have taken every single opportunity they can to protest against this regime with increasing numbers and increasing severity in terms of the risk to the underlying legitimacy of the regime. They just did this in January. The number that I'm going with, there's roughly 20,000 people were killed. At that rate, they were killed in 2 days. That is faster rate of killing than we've seen in Gaza, in Syria, in Yemen, in Sudan, even back to the Rwandan genocide. It exceeds even that. It was an incredibly fast rate of killing. If the people are deterred and thus don't rise up, no one from thousands of miles away can criticize them. But my bet is that they will rise up again. And then that will be the most important decision for Donald Trump of his entire presidency.
William Wexler with the Atlantic Council. Thanks for the time. The markets are in the green today. They are up in